2 Corinthians 9, verses 6 through to verse 15. Remember this: whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your own heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, they have freely scattered their gifts to the poor. Their righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, others will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ, and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. And in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Let's keep those Bibles open, or at least keep a finger in them as we consider those words. So here in these verses, Paul is talking about a farmer, or he's using that imagery anyway. And if you could just imagine for a moment that you're a farmer in a field. I know that you're Londoners, and so you don't really know what fields look like. But imagine you're a farmer in your field, and you've got some kind of... To be honest, I don't know what fields and farmers are about either, so you'll have to forgive me about this. But you've got your basket full of seed, and you are scattering the seed far and wide. Now, there's two ways that you could do this. You could do it very reluctantly and just pick up one seed at a time and just kind of drop a little bit here and there, feeling quite glum about it. Or you could take up big scoops of seed and just chuck it with abandon, full of joy, cheerfully spreading it wherever it falls. And here in this chapter, Paul is trying to encourage the people he's writing to be like the second type, cheerful givers. Paul's actually on a bit of a charity drive in this letter. Certainly in chapters 8 and 9, he is in effect holding his tin and kind of shaking it at the people that walk past. He's wanting to collect money. And it's because back in Jerusalem, there was a famine going on. And this famine was really severe. And it was particularly hitting the Jewish people who had become Christians. These Jewish people who'd become Christians, many of them lost their jobs because they'd made a stand for Christ. And so they had no way to survive in this famine. They had no way to provide for their families. They were in a really difficult circumstance. And so Paul is saying to these believers here in Corinth, look, your fellow believers back in Jerusalem, they are having a really hard time. Please give, and give generously to support them in their time of need. That's what he's saying to them. But this is the thing about this chapter. He's not just saying, give. I think a lot of us could get on board with that. You know, if we're walking down a busy street and we see someone collecting for the Salvation Army or some other charity, many of us would be like, yeah, I've got some spare change, drop it in, no problem. But Paul isn't just asking them to be givers here. He's asking them to be cheerful givers. He's saying, give and be happy about it. Give and be happy about it. Now, many of us give, but are we really happy when we give? That's maybe a bit more challenging. Paul gives two reasons why we should be cheerful givers here in this chapter. Two reasons why we as a people should transform into these joyful farmers, scattering that seed all over the place with smiles on our faces. The first reason, God is a cheerful giver. And the second reason, God will increase the harvest. So firstly, God is a cheerful giver. Now, Paul has been speaking for two whole chapters about giving to charity. And now put yourself in that church in Corinth, and you're hearing these chapters being read out at church, or explained even over a couple of Sundays or so. I imagine that after two whole chapters of this, many of them would be thinking to themselves, oh, is Paul really going on about this again? I mean, I'm on all the first century church rotas. I give so much of my time to helping people out in my area, to looking after my elderly family members. I give and give and give, and God is now asking for my money too. Hasn't he taken enough? They've totally got it wrong. God is not a taker. God is a giver. God is not a taker. God is a giver. When we look at these verses here, what do we see? Verse 8, is God able to take abundantly? Verse 10, is God the one who takes seed from the sower? Is, verse 11, God the one who enriches himself in every way? No, it's actually totally the other way around. God is the one who gives. God is the one who supplies seed. God is the one who enriches others. And even when we think about these whole chapters on giving, God is the one behind it all who is described as the ultimate cheerful giver. What do we have at the start? Grace. What do we have in the middle of these chapters? Grace. What do we have right at the end of this chapter? Grace. Chapter 8 and verse 1 says, let me find it. And now, brothers and sisters, we want you to know about the grace that God has given. Chapter 8, verse 9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then chapter 9, verse 15, at the end of this section, or verse 14 and 15. And in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. That's what grace is. It's an indescribable gift that God has given that we don't deserve. God has given the most precious thing he could possibly give. Parents, how do you feel about your children? Sure, they might annoy you from time to time. They might have kept you up into the early hours many a time. And yet, after a number of years, I think you've probably gotten used to them. And you probably do have this just deep affection and love for them. Well, God gave his son for us. That is the indescribable gift that God has given. He gave Jesus. And Jesus shows us that fatherly love as well. Jesus gave himself, coming from a world of riches to this world of poverty. Jesus gave his time, spending 33 years in this world broken by sin. Jesus gave his rights, tried in a completely corrupt trial. Jesus gave his honor, stripped naked, beaten, humiliated, walking through the streets. Jesus gave his blood, a crown of thorns pressed into his skull. Jesus gave his life for us, for unworthy people like you and I. And yet, we would dare ask the question, is this God really a giver? We would dare even think that God would be a taker. No, this God is a giver. God is a cheerful giver. That's the first thing we need to know if we're to be generous people, if we're to be cheerful givers. And I just want to pause for a moment and ask, have you recognized this about God yet? Or do you still think of God as a taker? Do you think of yourselves as someone who has something amazing to offer God? You know, God could really do something if I could just help him out. That's not it. There's only one thing that we can offer God. That's our sin. He'll take that. He'll take that. If we come to Jesus and say, Lord, I have nothing to offer you but my sinful, rebellious heart, Jesus will take that sin for you and he will give you his life. Our God is a cheerful giver. That's the first reason. And second reason, very briefly, God will increase the harvest. We're back to our image of the Father, and there are three effects of cheerful giving that Paul records here. The first one is more seed. More seed. Verse 11. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion, and through us your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. And verse 10, now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. The one thing that could stop that farmer from being happy about spreading that seed is, I'm running out of seed. I'm not going to have enough. And I think a lot of us can relate to that. However, it's almost as if in this image, this farmer is cheerfully spreading seed and God is just one step behind him. And as that basket is emptying, God is there with a bigger basket, filling it up. That is what Paul's got in mind here. As we give generously, God miraculously provides more. Not to make us rich. That's a very important distinction. God provides more so that we can continue to be generous. There's a very fine line here, but just think for a moment. If you, with the wealth or material possessions or time that God has given you, if you show yourself to be generous, then God can trust you with more, can't he? And God will continue to give, not to make you rich, but so that you can be generous with others. That's the first effect, more seed. Secondly, more glory to God. Verse 12 and 13, this service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God because of the service by which you have proved yourselves. Others will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ. It's not enough just to tell the gospel if we're going to really glorify God. We need to show the gospel. It's show and tell. Show and tell the gospel. If people are going to see what God is like, they can't just hear about him. They need to see something of what he's like. They need to see his generosity in our lives. They need to see his kindness as we spend time with people, as we provide for people, as we are generous with people. It's not about them thinking, oh, we're amazing, giving glory to ourselves. No, it's about them realizing, wow, that person is a Christian. That person is different. Their God must be amazing. So our generosity, when we're cheerful givers, it brings more seed and it brings more glory to God. And thirdly and finally, it brings more unity. It brings people together. The final verses here. Verse 14, and in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given you. What Paul is saying here is that as you give generously, this church in Jerusalem, they're going to be just wowed by what you've done. And they're going to be filled with so much love for you. This bond between you is going to be like strengthened. And that's such a beautiful thing that we can see in our lives as well. And I think we all know this, that when we show God's kindness and generosity to people, it brings us closer to them. It brings them closer to us. It creates this wonderful fellowship and love. And that's what God's vision for humanity is. God's vision for humanity isn't one of division and brokenness. That's the result of sin. This world one day is going to be transformed. This world one day is going to be totally united in love and praise to God. And we can bring a tiny little taste of that heaven here today. In our church, with our fellow believers here, and outside as we bring the gospel. God is bringing people together in the praise of Jesus. And one of the ways that happens is through the generosity of his people. So those are the three effects of cheerful giving. More seed, more glory to God, and more unity. These are the reasons why we should be cheerful givers. Because God himself is a cheerful giver, and because God will increase the harvest. Let's remember these things, particularly at this time of year, as we celebrate what God has given for us so generously.